FunFactory.com has partnered with Locker Room Talk and Shots. So when you use my special code SELS20, you get 20% off your Fun Factory purchase. Just head to us.funfactory.com and use my code SELS20 at checkout for 20% off sex toys, lube, massage oils, and more. Cheers.
Do the sex.
Hi, this is Annette Benedetti, your hostess for Locker Room Talk and Shots, the podcast that likes to think of itself as the queer NPR of raunchy women's sex talk. You are about to sit in on the kind of conversations women have on their girls' nights out or behind closed doors while enjoying delicious drinks and dishing about sex. Think fun, honest, and feminist as fuck, and always with the goal of fighting the patriarchy, one female orgasm at a time. Welcome to the locker room.
Ring loop. Today's locker room talk topic is the most Googled sex questions answered. Yep, that's right. We are going to answer the questions you've all secretly, or so you thought, was secretly searching during the COVID years. Dirty, dirty, dirty motherfuckers out there. And here's the great news. I pulled back the gang. Remember back in the early days of the podcast when we'd have five ladies on here all talking about fucking and the things they liked doing? Well, everybody has come back to join me in answering the questions that we know you guys really want answers to. So I'm going to go around real quick and let everybody introduce themselves, reintroduce themselves and tell you who's here, starting with Melissa. Melissa, do you want to just say hi and then remind everybody maybe one or two of the podcasts you've been on in the past?
Hi, everybody. My name's Melissa. I've been on a few podcasts here before. One was What Makes Women Wet, and another one was about being bisexual. Mm-hmm. Really excited to be here.
Can you remind people a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I own a pole dancing studio in Portland. Mm-hmm. We are been open for almost 9 years, mm-hmm. and I have several pets, which is really exciting.
That's right.
I don't think I've mentioned that before.
No, but you do. Cool.
I do. Yay.
Dogs and parrots and like some crazy stuff. It's cool. Lucy, you can just say hi. What was the last one you were on?
A buttload of fun.
Yeah. Anal sex. Lucy's back.
I am.
And Deanna, a.k.a. Ruby, what was the last one you were on?
Was it pegging or we also did one.
Moms Who Like to Fuck.
That's right. Moms Who Like to Fuck.
And you won an Olympic medal.
Oh, yes. I am a silver medalist. And if you want to go back to the archives and listen to the water sports locker room talk, you can learn all about my Olympic adventure.
That's right. She is an Olympian. And tonight's very special because we've got Bubbles back.
Oh, shucks.
Bubbles, a.k.a. Chrissy. Chrissy, tell them where they can listen to you, which episode they can hear you speak.
I was also on the water sports one. Mm-hmm. That was very funny with all of you ladies. I had a great time.
And then you did a follow-up?
We did a follow-up because I was talking about golden showers. And so I was in a mini-sode about my golden shower experience.
It was something like I got peed on and I liked it.
It was exactly that.
So you're going to want to listen to that. Listen to what happened when Bubbles got peed on. Everybody wants to know. You know you do. You kind of wonder what it would be like if your boyfriend or girlfriend pissed on you. Well, listen to that episode and you'll know. And, of course, we've got the themed cocktail for tonight. We wanted to make a cocktail that was called Sexy in the Playroom.
Yes.
And it was fucking horrible. And we just couldn't drink it. So we modified and made Sexy in the Playroom into what we are now calling a kink in the playroom. Yeah. And it tastes a little bit like a raspberry Italian soda. It's palatable. And maybe by the end of this podcast, I'll even think it's enjoyable. I'm not promising, but it's a possibility. So, ladies, we got a lot of questions to answer. A lot of questions. So let's raise our glasses. Thank you. Thank you for joining me tonight. Now let's talk about sex. Oh, that's good. I made it good.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I like it.
That's pretty good. So it's a kink in the playroom. Playroom. I think a kink in a playroom. The playroom? Yeah. Whatever. A kink in the playroom is not bad. But let's jump right in because we actually do have a lot of questions to answer tonight. And we're going to try and get through them all for you because we know you want to know. And we all have knowledge, opinions, thoughts to give you. So we're going to kick it off. Ladies, I just want you to kind of raise your hand if you think you have the answer to these questions, or a good answer. The first one, one of the most Googled questions was, where is the G spot? No hands go up.
Oh, wait, I know where that is.
Okay, lean in and tell them.
So I'm not an expert, but I have read some books and it's apparently where your what's called your urethra sponge.
Yeah.
Which is this kind of, gosh, I wish I feel like I need to research this and come back to
right.
answer this question.
Well, that's why everyone's searching it.
Yeah.
We don't even know. I mean, I've got thoughts.
Right. So I actually took like a webinar through Shebop sometime over COVID. I signed up for several of their webinars.
Explain who Shebop is.
Oh, Shebop is a body positive, all gender inclusive sex toy shop in Portland.
Right.
But it also has like books and it has online webinars and for educational purposes. So, yeah, it's from my understanding, it's the area kind of surrounding like near your urethra, called your urethra sponge. And if someone's like on their back, and someone's like going inside that person, you would kind of, their fingers are going inside the vagina. They would kind of go up towards the top.
Right. And the front of your body.
Yeah. And then pull towards you is how you would palpate it. But everyone's very different apparently. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on each individual, whether they enjoy that stimulation or not. And there's a lot of factors, but that's right. where it is from what I've know.
I think what I would like to comment on that, I have opinions. So everybody who's ever Googled or searched where is a woman's G spot has been told the same thing, which is exactly what you just said, that if you stick your fingers up into a woman's body and you like hook your fingers, it's right up there. Like imagine that you are sticking your two fingers, I'm going to say two because like a fish hook, yeah, into a woman's pussy. And then you hook your fingers and up towards kind of her stomach, that it's there. And I know that I can tell when someone searched this or learned this because mine is definitely not 100% there. I'm not, I mean, like, they'll be like, that's your G-spot. I'm like, I don't feel anything. I think mine is more towards the back of my body. I've got a hot spot back there that, like, makes me go wild.
But I don't think it's about, like, whether it makes you go wild or not. It's about anatomically, where is it?
Right.
And if you have a different erogenous zone somewhere else that stimulates you really well, then that's...
So maybe I just have a G-spot that doesn't work.
Apparently, the G-spot, it's named after some old white dude, apparently. It's like German names of the G. It's like the area around your urethra sponge. Whether or not you're actually stimulated by it sexually is not necessarily the case, but that's where it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
it would be nice if everybody knew that. Maybe the
G-spot. That's from my understanding, at least. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is why everyone's searching that fucking question.
It seems so misleading. It's like, where is it? Are you actually asking where it is? Or how do I activate this amazing explosion that's supposed to happen when I do find it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. How many ladies at this table have had G-spot orgasms or think they have? Melissa, everyone except for me.
Not recently. I think it's been over 5 years.
And was it
Oy
that?
Vey.
All right. So when you all are raising your hand, which everybody here except for me is, How, when you say that, does that mean that it was because it was from that area that we just talked about, that front area? Can someone speak to how you knew it was the G-spot?
That is actually a good question, Lucia. Because I don't know if it was the G-spot. I am just assuming it was.
Because it was internal.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, but I don't actually know that. It was just an orgasm that was internal. So do
most of us assume, raise your hand if it's a yes, do most of us assume if we have an internal orgasm, it's from the G-spot? How many of us are assuming that?
No, not
Melissa. Lucy is. Deanna, can you explain like how you knew it was a G-spot orgasm? We'll be right back. My code SELS20 is your key to kicking off the sexiest new year ever had when you use it at funfactory.com. Enjoy 20% off Fun Factory's luxury products, including vibrators, cock rings, lube, and more when you use my code SELS20. Check out the Vim vibrating wand. Yes, the one featured on this podcast thumbnail. Grab the nose vibrating cock ring and experience more simultaneous orgasms in 2024. And don't forget to check out their rabbit style vibes. I'm talking about the Lady Bi for toe curling blended O's all year long. Just fill your cart and use code SELS20 at checkout and enjoy 20% off when you shop funfactory.com. Cheers.
Well, I am assuming, because like Lucy, I don't know exactly if that's what it was, but you know, some orgasms are just I'm coming, and then there's those really intense, like you are almost crawling out of your skin and you want it to stop but you don't want it to stop. Yeah. And that's what I consider like a G-spot orgasm. Hmm. So I'm assuming that's what it is, but maybe it's not. Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, so I've learned from, again, I don't mean to act like a know-it-all, but my 20 webinars through Shebop I've taken COVID.
Yeah, we want your knowledge.
All orgasms with people who have vulvas, all orgasms for these people are caused by the clit, indirectly or directly. So even if it's like... That's what the research is saying, is that
from the clit.
Yes. Whether it's internal or external, it's ultimately from your clitoris, which isn't just that nub. It's actually horseshoe shaped.
And it goes where? It's horseshoe shaped. The nub shows on the outside. The horseshoe is on the inside.
Internal, yes. And apparently, like, it's all very poorly understood and under-researched, like a lot of things with women's bodies.
So I think let's sum this up. You guys are all searching, and I assume men, women, non-binary people, all people are trying to figure out where the elusive G-spot is. If the purpose of researching that is to figure out how to get a person with a vulva, vagina, to orgasm, hey, we love that you're looking up the information, but the reality is we're all a little lost on it, so like – play with our clit, dig around inside until we're squealing, you know?
Ask
where we feel good inside. And sometimes some of us don't know our hot spots. So like maybe make it a fun little game in bed to like figure out where to hit with your cock or a toy or your fingers to get us off. Huh?
Yeah,
do we all agree on that?
Yes.
Can we raise our glasses to that? Yes. Cheers to the hardest question, hopefully done first. Wow, I thought that was going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you guys, that's all right. This next one, I think we're going to nail it. We kind of have a podcast based on it. It is How to Make a Woman Orgasm. And listen, we did do How to Make a Woman Wet, which is different than orgasming, but I think we're going to do a roundtable on this. How each of us would, if someone asks us how to make you orgasm, I just want you to give your answer. Like whatever is in your mind, like if someone asked you, like Googled in your brain that question, what would you say to them? I would say, kick back, clear some time in the day, and get ready to like go down and use some toys and try lots of
things. Definitely clitoral stimulation for me. And do not pressure me to come. Don't. That's it, I guess. Just go down, play. Let me play with you and get excited. You're going to have to do a lot with my clit. I'll orgasm eventually, but don't you dare ask me or put pressure on me to come. I think that's what would get me to come. Melissa, your turn.
Yeah, I just want to say that that's a huge turnoff, being any pressure to come. Yeah. And it's not even hard to get me to come, but if someone puts any pressure on me, all of a sudden it feels impossible.
Hours. It will take hours.
So just want to kind of validate what mm-hmm. you just said.
Thank you.
Very, very important. Very huge turnoff. And probably one of the biggest advice things I've read in different books about sex and relationships is focus on the pleasure, focus mm-hmm. on the moment and what feels good and not some sort of end goal. But for me, I'm definitely usually can only have an orgasm from external stimulation.
And clitoral?
Yeah. But not just like the head. It has to be like kind of the whole area, because mm-hmm. though your clitoris is actually horseshoe shaped and not just the head. And mm-hmm. I don't have an orgasm from intercourse, or mm-hmm. whether that's with a penis or a toy, something penis shaped thrusting in and out of me could be fun, but it won't ever give me an orgasm.
Good to know. Can I amend my answer really quickly? I would say how to make me have an orgasm is to not make my orgasm the goal.
Yes. Yeah. Same with me.
Right. Too. All right. Like, can we just cheers that, guys? Yeah. How to make a woman come is to not make making a woman come priority, maybe, or the goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've even had some people with penises respond the same way. If I was too focused on that, it was a turnoff to them too, and they felt too much pressure, and then they
couldn't.
Yeah.
They shrunk.
Yeah. It's happened to me before with some people. So I feel like it might be a little bit more pronounced with someone with a vulva, but
right.
I don't think it's a good feeling for anybody to feel that kind of pressure.
Right. Lucy, what would you say to someone?
Just grab a magic wand. They're great.
Will you reiterate to our listeners what the magic wand is?
It's a lovely vibrator by the Hitachi people, and you can buy one for probably outrageous amounts of money, like $100+, but they last many, 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 many years and are quite amazing. So,
in fact, listeners, we can get you a magic wand. I will put a link in the description of this episode, and I can get you one for under $100. And I guarantee it will give you an orgasm. So read down below the description of this podcast, click the link, and you will get an affordable magic wand from Locker Room Talk and Shots. You're welcome.
I would like to say I can testify it lasting for years. I actually have a model from 2008 I still use, and it's the one that plugs directly into the wall.
Nice. It is worth it.
And it kind of acts, it's not as quiet as it used to be. It's like,
that's what mine is like.
But I'm like, that motherfucker still works. I will use it until it dies forever. And it is 14 years old now, and I originally bought it for $50.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, mine is also very loud now, and mine is only, I think, like 7 years old, but
whatever.
But you know,
whatever,
that's
care.
Like, that's such good use of money. Anyways, we're moving on to Deanna. If someone asks you how to make you come, how to give you an orgasm. We'll be right back. Start the new year off with a bang. My code EXPLORES15 gets you 15% off womanizer.com's famous Pleasure Air Tech sex toys. You know, the clit-satisfying sucking sensation that guarantees explosive orgasms. Just go to womanizer.com and check out my personal favorite, the Womanizer Duo 2. Get ready for blended orgasms, or the Premium 2. Womanizer.com has something for you, whether you are seeking clitastic satisfaction, blended orgasms, or explosive G-spot experiences. Just shop womanizer.com and use my code EXPLORES15 at checkout for 15% off. That's 15% off all womanizer.com products with my code EXPLORES15 at checkout. Cheers.
Well, I'm glad that it was brought up. Don't make the whole priority and goal and focus me having an orgasm. And also, I guess don't be like too serious. Like some people can be really intense and serious, and I think it's because it's that focus. But have fun, laugh, like just take it easy, relax. Just like we're hanging out, but we got our clothes off, or maybe we don't.
Right.
And remember that the clit is not just the little button, but there's a whole case around it. You know, don't be afraid to explore outside of the clit either. Like, you know,
explore.
Mm-hmm, just have fun.
I like that. I like that. Chrissy, how do we give you an orgasm? How do we get bubbles?
Well, I very much so like foreplay. So if you're going to take the time to an effort, you know, touch me, kiss me, all of those things.
Where do you want to be touched? You just touched your own breasts when you said that.
Everywhere.
She grabbed her tit, folks. She grabbed her breast and said, touch me.
Just touch me. Touch me, kiss me. Like, I'm very much so into that. My love language is touch and being very affectionate. And that's a huge turn on for me. And I mean, I could probably have an orgasm just by making out with somebody.
Wow. Oh, fuck you, Bubbles. Fuck you. I'm so jealous.
If the makeout sesh is good enough, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know what? We're going to celebrate. Let's celebrate.
I mean, treat me like we're in high school
Cheers to women.
I have like a qualifying follow-up question for Bubbles.
What?
Making out, having an orgasm for that, without any kind of stimulation down there, not even like a
hand or something, like, you know, like a little... over the gene play. I mean, right. But
something that was a little
something. Yeah. Like, area. But mainly like kissing and fondling. That's
right. But it's not like hot kissing, to me. Like, and then your lower house are completely separated.
No.
Okay.
No, honey.
Okay.
That's touch it. Right, touch
yeah.
it.
But I've had that happen to you before. Yeah. Yes. It's possible if you haven't come in a really long time.
For sure.
I'll be like, I'm just not going to masturbate for 3 weeks. And then I could probably do that.
Why would you not masturbate for 3 weeks?
All right. What is a healthy frequency for couples to be having sex? How often should couples have sex in order to have a healthy relationship? I think that's what the question is. Who wants to answer this?
We all do.
Okay. So I'm going to start with Deanna.
So I'm going to say it's all dependent on that couple. Some couples need more physical intimacy than others. And I think questions like that put pressure on relationships and can cause strife in relationships because you're like, oh, we're not having sex the 3 times a week that Cosmo said we should be having sex. So there's something wrong in our relationship. And then it causes conflict.
Right.
So that question, I don't like it because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's times in my relationship where we may be having it very frequently. And then there's times that it may be a while. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the attraction or it's just, you know, life, schedules, health, you know.
Right.
And I think when you put that on there, that's making physicality and sex more important in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So fair. That's my answer.
All right, Bubbles, give it to me.
My partner, let's just call him that. He has a quota. He wants to be having sex twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is going to obviously be a quickie. There's just no getting, you know, away from that. However, are we meeting the quota? No, absolutely not. For me, like, I would feel like if we could bone one out really well once a day, let's do that. I feel like for me, sex is a huge stress relief. And I like the physicality of it. I like the intimacy of it, especially being with somebody that I love. So like if we could have sex once a day, I'd be stoked about it. Fuck your quota. Let's just strive for one really good bone a day. Right. That's my answer.
Melissa.
I totally think everyone said so far is awesome. I think it does depend on each person and couple. And one thing I was thinking from since Annette asked that question, also hearing everyone's response is, what is sex? You know, and the heteronormative definition is intercourse. And that's kind of this blanket statement. A penis needs to be involved. Mm. And for me, I enjoy a variety of different kinds of sex, different kinds of play. But if I only had intercourse every day, I don't fucking want that. That's just going to make my vagina sore personally. Yeah. And so I just think it's something to think about, like, what is sex? And that our society tends to define it in a heteronormative view. And meaning like penis going in and out of a vagina,
right.
But it could be oral sex or making out and using toys. And I know everyone here agrees with that.
No, Melissa, I'm so glad you brought that up because my reaction when listening, when Bubbles was saying that her partner wanted to bone twice a day.
Yeah, wow. Just using the word bone is totally fine, but it also means intercourse,
but
right?
I guess necessarily mean just intercourse.
But I know some friends of mine in heterosexual marriages, when they say, oh, me and my husband have sex twice a week, it's intercourse.
Right.
And there's nothing else. Yeah.
No, like I like the fun stuff too.
Right. But I mean, it's just something to think about. And but I didn't mean to interrupt. But
yeah. So I think what I wanted to say was that I think also for me, two times a day with like penis and vagina sex would be too much. And even maybe every day having penis and vagina sex. However, I happen to be in a relationship right now that is very sexual and our sexual connection is, you know, like fireworks and it's one of our strengths. And I do want to, when possible, we don't, there's some distance in where we live, but if we were together every day, I would want to engage in some sort of sexual, activity every day. But, even though that relationship is somewhat heteronormative, we don't have what I would call, and it's unfortunate that we have to label it this way, heteronormative sex. Because outside of heteronormative sex would be like, you know, all sorts of different ways of fucking, which is, you know, fucking with your hands or with your mouth or just humping each other or, you know what I mean? And I just like those activities, even if it's just for, you know, whatever, laying in bed before you go to sleep and you know you don't have the energy to do full meal deal, but you like play a little bit and get turned on or in the morning, you know? You go down and suck a clit or a cock for a couple minutes. And
right, which is all sex, though. Like
it's all sex. Yeah. It's all sex,
exactly.
Right?
That's my point.
I guess boning was a bad word. My bad.
Oh, no, it's totally okay to use that word. And there's nothing wrong with it. I was just trying to, I guess, broaden the conversation because I'm thinking about my friends out there that I've had in my life that don't have as many orgasms as they would like. Because they have intercourse and that's their sex, quote unquote, but they don't have an orgasm from that.
But also, so. Chrissy, yeah. Perhaps in your partner's eyes, he wants to bone twice a day, which is also okay. Perhaps he does. Perhaps not.
He never really specified like what.
I mean,
we have this like little card game and it's like for couples and it's called the couple's intimacy game or whatever. Yeah. It's cards. You pull them out and you ask each other questions. And one of the questions that I pulled out for him was, what would be your ideal number to have sex, like a day or a week or whatever? I can't remember exactly what the question was. And he was like, I wouldn't mind having sex twice a day.
Well, that's a great question for you to ask him. What does that mean to you?
What does it entail?
Right. Is it like
to you?
Have you folks heard of the term railing? Like R-A-I-L-I-N-G. That means penis going in and out of the vagina. Is it that him or any man or a person with a penis doing that until they ejaculate? That's like the typical definition of sex for a lot of heteronormative men is pumping their penis in and out of the vagina until they ejaculate.
Yeah. Railing.
Deanna, yeah, I mean, Deanna wants to get railed. But I do think the bottom line, the answer to that question is, in my opinion, the number that of times a week or how the frequency that is healthy depends on the couple and what they like and what they can do together. And maybe, you know, one person in a couple wants less and one wants more. And that's where things become unhealthy, right? If one person isn't getting what they want or one person is feeling pressured into doing more than they want, that's where things stop being healthy. So getting on the same page and figuring out how you can meet each other's needs, which might be broadening the idea of what sex is and what that means. So cheers to just everyone getting fucked as much as they want.
And also broadening the definition of sex.
Right, exactly. Yes.
That's my crusade, at least.
I like that. I'm on board with that. So I'm excited about this question for lots of reasons. But I'm just going to ask the question to you guys. I'm excited to see your reaction. And then I'll tell you why it excites me. Does the use of sex toys ruin relationships? Now, this is, look, guys, if I wish you could all see the looks on the faces of the women, but clearly people want to know, does the use of sex toys ruin a relationship? Who wants to start with the answers? Come on, Lucy. Lucy's got 200 toys. I would like to know your answer. We'll be right back. Kick off the new year with a jaw-dropping 30% off of some of the hottest sex toys and my favorite, Gleam Lube, with code EXPLORERS30 when you shop thethruster.com. Known as the home of the incredible Build Your Own Thruster Prime, thethruster.com is also partnered with LaSierre.com, where you'll find gorgeous vibrating steel toys, and BoutiqueVoila.com, where you can grab a vibrating lipstick, a rubber ducky that gets lucky, or even get pounded by Thor's hammer, literally, all for 30% off with code EXPLORERS30. Just head to thethruster.com where you'll find The Thruster, LaSierre, and Boutique Voila and enjoy 30% off your site-wide purchases with code EXPLORERS30 at checkout. Cheers.
Thank you. Yes, as a person who has 200 toys.
How's your relationship doing, Lucy?
It's doing great. I don't know what people talk about.
How long have you been married?
12 years.
How often do you and your partner engage in sex in the broad term, meaning some sort of sexual intimacy act?
As much as we can.
How often? Give me like a daily, twice a week, once a month.
It really is a week dependent, but ideally every day. In a sexy time activity, yet again, doesn't have to be sex as we were talking about it earlier. But yes, toys are involved all the time. Yep. There's a toy.
Yep.
Every single sexy time activity.
And do you feel that the toys have helped, hurt, or done nothing for the sexual relationship and the relationship? What do you think?
They have definitely enhanced, explored, added, losing adjective.
And it hasn't hurt.
Elated the experiences of sexy time.
Okay. There we go. Anybody else? I definitely want to add my two cents in. Is there anyone else dying to jump in on this?
Well,
go for it.
I know it's been mentioned before how some people, some of us, myself included, will not get an orgasm by a penis.
Right.
going in and out of my vagina, or my railing. Vagina being railed.
Railing. That's what it is. Yeah.
So railing does not always work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't invite toys into your relationship, that might never happen for you. I think most of the time it's men that say toys are a negative effect on relationships, because I think deep down it bruises their egos, mm-hmm. and they feel threatened by the toys. But if it wasn't for toys, I probably wouldn't come as much as I do.
Right. So I want to add into this conversation. I am currently, I have a male partner who came with a decent amount of toys to start with. He's
hot. Sorry, I didn't
want to interject.
Cisgendered. Man.
Let's cheers to that.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers to that.
A man who knows the value of toys.
Yeah, and that's exactly the case.
Very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
All the men listening.
I've had a lot of orgasms, and I've had the best orgasms of my life. So what I want to say, and I was just discussing this with him the other day. So he came with a good number of toys. I had my own toys that I brought to the table. And then since we have been intimate with each other, we have built and are building on our sex toy chest. And we were just discussing the other day how cool it is that there is, like, it never gets boring. When you have a toy chest and you're going to have sex, and look, there are times when it's just like, we don't want to get into the toy chest and pull things out. We just want to have some really awesome, believe it or not, vanilla sex. But by and large, when we want to be intimate, it makes sex this playtime. And it can look any way we want it to look. And it adds and it takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off of him to, like, to take longer to come, or to just use his penis, or just use his hand, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it gives him tools. I have been very honest on this podcast about struggling to – I take a long time to get off. It's just kind of where I'm at. And so it takes a lot of pressure off of him. And then, you know, it's just an adventure. Like, sex is an adventure. The more toys we get, it's more like, oh, what if we use this toy and that toy at the same time? Or what if you, like, do this to me and then use that on me? Or what if I use this on you? I think it has created this really healthy, wonderful sex relationship for us. And for me, and I don't know about you guys, but sex and orgasms are very, like, I feel like stress relieving for me. They make me feel very connected to someone. Like, it makes me a happy, healthy person. So in my opinion, my experience, this is the first relationship in all of my life where we've really had a large repertoire of toys, like all kinds of toys. And I do feel like it's the healthiest and most fulfilling sexual relationship I've ever had. So,
hey, can we do a cheers to that?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yay for me, man.
Hell yeah.
So to all you people out there, and I don't know, I know that there are a lot of people who have issues and weird feelings around toys who are Googling whether or not toys can fuck up your sex life. I think the answer is no. I think they can only enhance. If you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. But I'm saying, if you're curious, go get something.
Where does that even come from? I feel like it's some sort of, like, Bible-beating conservative, Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I know that mentality exists out there, but it makes me think of like some Alabama type stuff.
It's weird. It's interesting that it was.
That is like one of the few states where actually like sex toys were deemed illegal on some level 20 years ago. I don't know if that's still the case, but yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. So we love the toys. And I was also excited about talking about that because, guys, in the next week, I'm launching a YouTube channel. I will be doing sex toy reviews. I'm partnering with a couple of national companies, and I am going to be trying out different sex toys, and I'm going to be reviewing them for all of you. So keep your eye out for that. All right, next question. I love this one. Are you guys ready? This is probably the most interesting question that we have. Okay. Is drinking my girlfriend's juices during oral sex healthy? Is drinking my girlfriend's juices during sex healthy?
And I just want to let you know, that's exactly how it was worded in Google. I wrote those down. I worded them exactly how they were in Google. So some moron put that into Google.
I just want to say
he's not a moron, right. But damn.
So... who wants to answer this question?
I will answer it based on my limited knowledge of biology and chemistry and knowing what those juices are made of.
Go.
Okay, so it's made of the same stuff as your snot.
What?
Yes. What? Sorry, not sorry. And I don't think it's healthy or not healthy. And I'm not a doctor. This is just based on my education as a personal trainer and someone who's in the wellness industry. No, I'm not some expert, but I do have a general understanding of these basic things. It's like drinking someone's snot. So nothing's going to happen. It's not good or bad. Assuming they don't have some kind of STI.
Oh, boy.
Or COVID. And I'm done.
COVID. How did you get COVID? I drank her cum.
It's the same as your snot or phlegm or even that pre-cum that comes out of people with penises. There's pre-cum. It's called sputum. So it's the same fucking stuff. Oh, how interesting. Some salt, some whatever. It's
some proteins.
Right. It's not good or bad for you based on what I know.
I did not expect this podcast to ruin everybody's sex life, but
ignorance is bliss. Knowledge is power.
Ruined it all.
But so Chrissy and I sat down and like looked up these questions together. And when we read that question, I was like, "Are they talking? Like, what does that mean to someone when they're saying drink juices? Are they talking about when someone squirts?"
I think it's like actively swallowing on any level, but I don't know.
So. I would think so, too. I mean, because not every girl is just going to be squirting all over the place. I don't squirt every time I come.
Well, that's why I was like, how are you drinking anything? Like, I've gone down on several people with vulvas, and I have lots of them. And I have not.
Lots of them.
I've got a good handful. Anyways, I don't think I have ever drank pussy juice. I would never.
You like swallow some in some small amounts, I'm sure, but nothing. It's all negligible.
Yeah, it's just a weird question to me.
I'm thinking the people that during these COVID years were Googling that question might never have been down on a female, and are probably male.
They were quarantined too long.
So they were thinking about how their...
the incels involuntarily celibate humans.
So, because, yes, drink. Most of it's on your face, not going down your gullet. So
yeah, at most it's like a tenth of a teaspoon.
Right.
Or less.
Yeah, I bet you this is definitely – so these questions all came from the COVID years, and I'm thinking that maybe someone was freaking out, like went down on their girlfriend, and I don't know. Maybe she did squirt, or maybe what she was like, it was COVID. Maybe it was, they finally broke down and went on a date when they weren't supposed to and decided to have sex. And she came and got his mouth all wet. And then he was like, I might have COVID. Is this healthy for me? I mean, I don't know. Or maybe a woman asked this question. I don't believe a woman would ever search that question.
I'm saying this was probably a male who,
it does say girlfriend.
I've heard the opposite question asked about, like, the nutritional value of semen. So I guess it only follows that the opposite question would be Googled.
Right, but semen is literally squirted into your mouth. Also, right. Guys love to be like, a little protein for you. I'll give you a little protein. Who hasn't heard that from men?
But that's the beauty of Google. No one really knows that you're... It's very anonymous. That's yes, right. We're writing it down. It's all those anymore. Silly things we're wondering.
And that's why I'm saying that I would make the assumption that that is mostly males asking that question, because they're thinking about when they are gone down on or what they've seen,
right.
If maybe they don't have that experience.
I can't see any lesbians asking this.
They are seeing a wad being shot, but they're seeing like a significant amount of something going into someone's mouth. So they assume, because they don't have the experience, that it's the same when it's their girlfriend.
All right, guys, look, we don't have a clear answer for that fucked up question. But no, look, you're making out with a woman, you're getting her spit into her mouth. You're going down and licking her pussy, you're getting her cum into your mouth. It's all products from her body, right? Mm-hmm. It's all products from her body. So if she's sick, you're going to get sick. She has an STI, you're running a chance of getting one. Is it healthy? Otherwise, yeah, it's healthy because you're getting fucking laid. So be grateful. Go down. Drink those juices up. Drink those juices up. Cheers to that. To more women having their juices drank. Flim or not.
Oy vey. Guzzle, guzzle.
That's right. All right, so we are going to move on to our next question. And you know what? I am going to direct this to Lucy. Anyone else can have their turn if they have something to add, but I'm going to put this one to Lucy, her resident dominatrix. The question is BDSM a healthy sexual practice? Why or why not? Lucy, we know you know quite a bit about BDSM, so I would like you to answer that question for me.
I guess... It depends. If you are doing it with the utmost care for yourself and your BDSM companion, then it is totally great and super healthy and amazing and great fun. Unfortunately, it can also be done in a non-healthy way. And then it, of course, becomes an unhealthy situation. So... Mm-hmm. If you are interested in trying BDSM type of activity, there is a podcast that you can listen to all about that. Mm-hmm.
And that was, what was the name? Dominate Your Dude.
Yeah, Dominate Your Dude.
That was.
Do you recommend any books? Because for me, I found books to be a good source of knowledge for this subject.
Oh, for sure. Yes, I do recommend. Yes, there's so many books out there.
One or two.
I think one of the ones that I feel like that was one of my most favorite sex books is the Nina Hartley Guide to Total Sex. Mm-hmm. I think I have referenced that book before. You would actually get it on Audible as well. I don't know who the narrator is, but the person does a lovely job. And I think that... she does a really good job just kind of describing it in the very beginning stages as well. Mm-hmm. But there are many, many books that are for beginners.
Is there anyone else who wants to chime in on this?
I just want to say that one thing that's really key in and that is consent and communication. Clear communication and clear consent can be what determines if it is a healthy or non-healthy situation. And so just knowing that, and knowing just because you express to someone that you want to explore some aspect of that, whether it's impact play or some type of bondage, and they don't respect your consent, or maybe they take it too far and you no longer consent it. What I have seen happened is that people have felt, well, I asked for this, so they just think they need to. But at any time, even if you consent at any time, you know, you hear the term safe word.
Right.
It's a real thing. And it is, so there's that safety, not just physical safety, but it's more psychological safety.
You can revoke your consent.
Yes.
I will actually be posting an article on SheExploresLife.com in the, if you look under the sex and relationships or sex and love or sex and relationships tab, you go down to kinks. There is an article that is going to be on the benefits of BDSM, and it's specifically for, it covers both benefits for couples and relationships and individuals. And all of the benefits that I'll list are based on studies and research. And the caveat is this is consensual, responsible BDSM activities in a relationship. And just some quick highlights of what that article will say. It can be both for the dom and the sub in a BDSM relationship, reduced stress levels due to all of the hormones, the wonderful hormones that are released, and they equate. I mean, there's different names for what vanilla people might understand as a runner's high. You get the same sort of euphoric feeling during BDSM activities, the same sort of releases, and those hormones that are released during BDSM activities can lower stress levels. I believe everything from your blood pressure to, all of the, basically the negative effects of stress are reduced within a relationship. Learning how to engage in a BDSM relationship. It actually improves communication in relationships, because couples have to communicate in order to engage in the activities that take place. And I think, Lucy, you can attest to that. Like, there's
for a sure.
And then my final point that I was going to share, the research that I looked into is it also deepens trust in a relationship, because, of course, if you're going to engage in activities that include some pleasure, pain aspect, a lot of trust has to be built and earned over time. So those are just the highlights. That's not an easy question to answer. There are benefits if you engage in a healthy BDSM relationship. There are a lot of harm can be done if it's an unhealthy or unsafe BDSM relationship. So I would suggest, if you're curious about it, you and your partner, go take classes, do the research, get some guidance from qualified people. So, all right, moving on. This is one of my favorite questions. And I'm sure that this is like one of the top searched questions. How long does sex last? And I just want to.
This goes back to the what is sex?
Let me just say this. And if you are asking this, if you're Googling this question,
just forget it.
Let me just say, it's not lasting long enough for you. It's not lasting long enough.
Is that an intercourse based statement?
Well, no, it's about.
It's not accusatory.
That is literally, if someone is Googling that, they don't understand that sex is so much. How long does it last?
More than ejaculation.
Right, exactly.
Ejaculation based question.
I mean,
A railing based question.
It also could, and it also could be, it could be a guy who is worried about not lasting long enough, or it could be a woman who's with a guy who's not lasting very long, and she's wondering, like, well, how long should this last? Or, you know, whatever. It could be a non-binary person in either of those situations. The bottom line is, if you are looking it up, it's not lasting long enough.
Someone's expectations aren't being met.
Right, exactly. Someone's needs aren't being met.
Or
Deanna, or who said or?
Me. Lucy, hi. Or it is a poor woman who has a gentleman who's the opposite, and she's trying to figure out why is it lasting so long.
Oh,
that sounds extremely unlikely, but it's possible.
I've definitely been in that situation where I'm just like, please God, let this end.
Because I've been in that situation too before, actually.
I've been railed too long.
For sure.
I've just been like, get the fuck off, dude. But Deanna's over there.
I just want to address those men who maybe are quick to release that have Googled that question. So if you all could just open up your hearts and your ears and listen to me, it's okay. There are ways to give your partner the best experience. And if you know that you're quick to come, you know, most women would prefer the other things anyways.
Yeah.
So spend some time exploring her body, whispering in her ear, caressing her neck, giving her head. And that way, you're prolonging the experience. And the pressure is not on you because, you know, you're a quick draw McGraw. And she will have no clue that you are. So,
or she'll be happy you are, right, because then she gets to the other stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's okay not to be one of those men that I dread that rail for what seems to be like days. It's okay. No matter what those stupid jocks said to you in the locker room or what they talked about, guess what? They came in 2 seconds too. So I just want to cheers this.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Cheers.
The guys that think they have to rail for hours to come to be a man, you don't. That is definitely not what makes you a man.
No, I want to speak to this. I don't care. Honestly, like my current partner, I don't worry about how long he's going to take, because when he gets done, if I haven't come, like we don't even get into that. We have toys just like at our, you know, and we just keep going. I think the thing that, especially for men, but for everybody, because I know that I was talking to an ex-girlfriend of mine who said after she comes, like she just has that, it's called a refractory period, where your sex, like you come and your sex drive and interest in sex just vanishes. And it is often thought of as a male experience, but I think that's not true, because I remember before I started working on things like edging and building my sexuality, like I would be like watching porn and getting these dirty thoughts and sending these dirty fucking texts. And then I'd come and I'd be like, why did I do that? Like my sex drive would end and my dirty mind would like tuck back into shame. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. I hope that person never texts me back. But something I think to work on is the idea that after, like, if you're with a partner and one person comes, is to work on being able to keep that, like, energy, that sexy energy, and to keep playing with their body, that the person who hasn't come, and use toys and explore. And it's this really, after, in my experience, after one person who has come first, who is always typically not me. There is, if you have a partner who can get into it, there's this really sexy, sensual, they're blissed out from their orgasm. I'm still like heading towards mine and like I can masturbate for them or they can masturbate me with, or you know what I mean? Like you kind of just get into this afterglow of sexiness and then I come and then usually they're ready to go again. And then it's like, I'm like, cool. But I think that, again, that is expanding the idea of what sex is and understanding that sex is in the mind. What's sexy in a sex act, it's all in the mind. And while you have body parts that will be done, when they're done, your mind can be charged sexually before, during, and after the actual act and coming. And you can train it to do that. And then everybody's happy. And then you can have a whole night of fun if you want to, or you can have just, you know, whatever, an hour until you both get off, right?
May I add something?
Yeah, I would love that.
I just think, yeah, I think a lot, everything you said is just right on point. And I just think we should keep challenging ourselves to think of sex in as an expansive of a way as possible outside of the heteronormative script. Even if you are in an opposite sex relationship, that's awesome, that's fine, but just to challenge yourself to think of sex is a wide of thing as possible, because our society defines sex as intercourse, to be honest. It really does. That's what our society does.
So let's sum that up. How long does sex last? It lasts. It should last as long as everybody needs it to last. And what sex is more than just your dick or your vulva or your body's coming. It's more than the orgasm. So moving on, I think that Deanna and I are going to be best suited for this. Maybe you, Bubbles, you know this one's coming.
I knew this question was coming. Go for it.
Do people in their 50s still have sex? None of us here are 50. Is that right?
No.
Not yet.
My partner is in their upper 50s. And so,
but he has the body of a 25-year-old. Can I just add that? Can we cheers to that?
Oh, let's all cheers to his body. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm totally objectifying you. I do.
Oh, he loves it.
Mm. I love it. So, yeah. My answer is I'm banging somebody in their 50s who has a body that won't quit and other things won't quit. I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't know. And so I'm learning a lot from that. And I think probably at some point I'll do a podcast on, I think that our society really acts like sex has to do with younger, like only younger people have great sex and are sexy people. And it's fucking bullshit, because I've been having sex for a long time, folks, and with people of all different ages. I mean, within what's reasonable.
Reason and legality.
Legality, yes. For me, I've been really surprised. I will talk about men in their 40s at some point in time, because I dated. Oh. So I was really skeptical about men in their 50s, and then I don't know, man. Fucking amazing. Amazing. But Deanna, Bubbles, let's just talk about people in their 40s and up banging. Yes, after 40, you fuck, and it's fantastic.
After 45, you fuck, and it's fantastic.
Deanna?
When you approach 50, you fuck, and it's fantastic.
How do you feel it compares to when you were 20 or 30?
Well, I want to say it's better because I have more knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to have a broader understanding of what sex is. And I think when you're older, you get Well, hopefully. It took me lots of therapy, but you get past like the some shaming that there is when it comes to intimacy and sex. And so you're very much more accepting of yourself and your sexuality and more understanding of others' sexuality, and it makes it so much better.
Right.
Like, you know, everyone thinks, oh, when you're in your 20s, it's all about fucking and sucking and having a good time. But when I was in my 20s, there was a lot attached to any sort of sexual intimacy, and it had to do, and my sexuality. I got married young. I started having kids at a young age. And so my sexuality, I kind of just stovepiped away. Mm-hmm. And it's not until after I was 40 that I realized the damage that did. And I had the maturity and the knowledge to do something about it. So, you know, that's one thing I really... really kind of irks me, especially when it comes to women. I don't think it's so much as with men, but I really think with women, they're not seen as being able to be sexual beings of any type after 30. Right. You know, it's just all downhill.
We're 35, from 35, right. Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think a lot of women have so much difficulty when they start, you know, when they turn 40, or I just think that age is just this concept that I think has been screwed up by the patriarchal society.
Especially with women, how women are seen as they go through different phases in life. It's
I'm going to be 90 and fucking everybody. So, and I will be 90 and dancing. I will be 90 and listening to whatever the new Ariana Grande is of the time and bopping away. I will be using the slang that the kids are using. Like, you know, age does not define me. I define myself.
So, Bubbles.
Can we have a cheers?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Let's cheers to that.
That is beautiful.
Sure is. Yes, sex in your 50s. Stretch beforehand, but other than that, just go.
It's quite athletic.
Charlie horses are real.
So, Bubbles, your other, like, you're in your 40s. Mm-hmm. You haven't quite reached 45.
No, I'm 43.
But I know you're banging like a badass, so...
I guess I'm almost 44. Yeah. But I don't feel like age should come into play. I don't think, you know, I feel like sex is getting better for me. I feel like my mind is getting better. I'm healthier. I'm more in tune with my body, and I'm more likely to stand up for myself and say, hey, whatever is happening here, I really like, or like, I don't like that so much.
I think communication gets better with age. Mm-hmm. So we're going to sum up. Do people in their 50s still fuck? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. You fucking fetus. You fucking fetus. We're still fucking. Mm-hmm. All right. Someday you're going to be where I am at. And you're going to look back maybe to the day that you searched this question and realize, well, how annoying it is. But yes, we're still fucking. I mean, I'm not in my 50s, but guaranteed.
She gonna be.
I'm gonna be. So that this is the second to the last one. This is, should be a fast answer for us. I don't know.
it's not been working very well. But let's go.
How to make a penis longer manually.
You lick it.
Lick it. Put your hand around it.
Yep.
I mean.
But other than that, there isn't really anything
well,
else.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Wait, what does that mean? I gotta like. What does that even mean? Does it mean like, oh.
Wait, let me start again. The question is. How to make a penis longer manually. And the first advice that came was from Lucy, who said,
you lick it. But yet again, the question is quite convoluted.
Well, I'm also kind of wondering what the context is. Do they mean like longer when it's flaccid and then longer while it's still flaccid? Or like obviously it's going to get longer when it's flaccid to hard. So it's not specific enough at all.
I think they want a bigger cock.
Oh, well, if you want a bigger cock, that's going to be a plastic surgery.
Which I don't feel like I know enough about to talk about, but I feel like I'm going to talk about it anyways. It doesn't sound like it would be worth it, and it sounds really painful. But I don't know. Go do the research. Talk to your doctor.
Extend that Google research.
I mean, they do make penis pumps, right? I mean, does that even work, though?
But so if you're uncircumcised, if you decide under societal pressure to get circumcised, you are going to lose some length.
Just go down on your partner's vulvas. Like, okay, so first of all, this is a fact. 75% of people with vulvas do not have an orgasm from railing, a.k.a. intercourse. Just think about that for a second. Look it up. It's a fact. 75% of people with vulvas do not have an orgasm from intercourse. Learn some pussy eating skills.
I like that advice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't need a bigger cock. You
need to learn a wider definition of sex. Sorry to interrupt.
You don't need a bigger cock. You need
a wider definition of sex, including lots of vulva licking.
Lots of it.
Lots.
Agreed. Very well put,
Melissa. So our answer to your question is...
Don't worry about it. It's not that
important. I dated people without penises and it was just fine. Actually better. I had more orgasms and we got strap-ons and did all kinds of shit and I had lots of orgasms.
Doesn't
embrace your body for what your body is.
Yes.
All right, ladies. This is the very last question and I'm going to leave it just to open interpretation. It is what... And I believe I would probably make this. Maybe I would search this. I don't know. What are the best sex hacks? Sex hacks. Now,
what does that even mean?
That's what I said.
I cannot tell you what it means.
Okay, so like, I feel like what a hack is like, how do you make a website look really good, really fast? Oh, here are those hacks. How do you apply that to sex? Like, what does
how
that
do you
mean?
Make sex how do I good, make it really, really good, fast?
Really fast?
Right. Like, that's not part of it.
That's no. Take your time.
Well,
Deanna.
I'll tackle this.
Thank you.
So here's a sex hack.
I love it.
So if you are going to meet somebody and you have female anatomy and you are worried about, because one thing I worried about when I was a youth was because all of like the pictures I would see in the nudie magazines, like the, you know, there's the vagina and her lips are just so pink and glossy. And then I was like, mine don't look like that. So what I would do is you would just get lip gloss and gloss those puppies up and they're glistening.
Oh my God, that's so hilarious.
So there is a hack from my youth that I'm sharing to all of you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, great. What does that's my shit even look like with that on? I don't know. I've never even thought about that before. I want to like put that shit on my like vulva and put a mirror down there and look at it now.
Well,
see if you can rub your lips together.
That is a true hack.
Right.
Like you really did like nail the sex hack. Yeah, I'll give you a fucking sex hack. Go to the sex store and get some sex toys. Those are your hacks. Yes. Those are your fucking hacks.
Oh, vibrators.
Wait. And look maybe, pussy.
Maybe a sex hack is, let's say I'm like a starving artist and I live in a 1986 Astro van traveling the country. So I don't have money to go to the sex shop and buy toys. So what is a hack for me to where I could have toys?
Oh, you could use a banana. I'm just saying.
Cucumber.
Cucumber. about to say that.
Let's see what else. Oh, I heard that if you suck on a small Altoid and give head, that feels really good.
If you have a Quip toothbrush, it vibrates.
I've heard of the toothbrush hack. I know a hygienist who actually, she said, in a pinch, will use her.
Toothbrush. So slow down.
Yeah,
slow down, ladies.
Yeah.
Because our listeners can't keep up with you.
Oh, sorry.
What's the toothbrush hack?
Okay, so they take their, you know, chargeable, you know, vibrating toothbrush and they masturbate with it. Not with the toothbrush part on, okay?
Oh, the other end.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Let's all be clear. They're not masturbating with their toothbrush brush.
And then you could use it during sex as a vibrator.
In a pinch, yes,
I've
ma'am.
I've actually tried that before.
And? Sex verdict? Hack.
It didn't work for me. Yeah, I was just too distracted by the fact it was my toothbrush.
I think I would have some like mental
and then
thing
I was like, I need to stop this shit. And then I couldn't remove myself from the fact that this is something I use to get my fucking mouth clean. And I have no shame about I know like my crotch is really cleaner than my mouth. I know it's weird because our hands are filled with germs. We put things out of our mouth. So intellectually, I know, but I couldn't separate. I could not separate. And I struggled and I just gave up. And I'm like, fuck it. Just plug your damn vibrator in and let it charge, bitch.
Just plug it in.
All right. God, now that my mind is opened.
You're welcome.
I have a couple.
I get a whole podcast out of each of these questions.
That's what's happening from now on. Ice cubes, get your mouth cold, go down on a woman.
Ice cubes.
Or keep the ice in your mouth while you're doing stuff on a woman or a man. Or you're blowing a guy, have some ice in your mouth.
What about a freezer pop? No, you don't like this idea.
No, definitely no freezer pop. No freezer pops, definitely before a woman, because they're so sweet. You don't want to introduce any extra sugars to your very,
good
very
call,
balanced
good call, good
pH
good call.
That would good get call. Really pissed off
but
at you.
But you could do
instantly.
Just a water freezer pop.
Perfect.
Yeah, that would work.
All right.
Okay, I'm into that.
The other one I have that I feel funny talking about is my partner got me a body massager. I don't remember the name of it, but it's like
it's called the ProFit.
Got me the ProFit, guys. First of all, it's a body massager, which is great for massaging each other, like real massages, because you know he's very athletic and has this hot body that we all cheers to. So, and like I'm working out like a motherfucker and I'm in pain all the time.
You have
pain.
A very hot body. I think we should cheers to.
Yeah. Oh God, you guys, you're sweet.
Cheers.
We can have
Let's
a drink,
cheers to
but
fucking hot ass body.
So I'm sore all the time. So he got me, you know, trying to be as athletic, but this motherfucking ProFit, I'm like it, like my magic wand, the one that you got to scroll down to the link and click and buy. You know, it's like fucking horse powered, but this ProFit, it might even be a level up. I'm not giving you a link to that. And one day I was massaging my hips, are where I really get a lot of pain. And I was massaging my hips and, you know, I'm doing this 365 days of orgasm challenge. If you haven't heard about it, scroll back through our other podcasts. I think like two or three back, you're going to see it there, or go over to sheexploreslife.com. I'm fucking myself every day and having an orgasm every day. Which was really hard today, Chrissy, because Chrissy is staying with me. And like,
you managed that.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Where was I?
Well, I'll write about it and you can read about it. You were on the couch. that was really frustrating.
Hats off.
But anyways, so I was massaging myself and then I was like, fuck, maybe if I just like move this a little farther. And so that was my hack. It was like, punched my pussy in all the right ways and the right timing and I got off. But I was thinking this could be used in my sex life as easily, especially because you can hold it kind of like a gun. I could be pretty hot if I was like tied up to bed. And anyways, so that's a possible hack right there. If you have a massager you're using for PG reasons, take away the PNG and put an RN X, maybe.
Anything with a motor that vibrates, basically.
That's right. Exactly. So our hacks, look around, look for household items. Fuck saran wrap to restrain, go back to pegging in the patriarchy, I think, or dominate your dude. Yeah. Lucy gave great hacks. You don't have handcuffs, use
saran wrap.
Saran wrap.
Lovely, yes.
To restrain your partner. Mm-hmm. Look for sex hack. Use household objects to get off. Yeah, guys, anything else? I think, look, we answered your many questions to the best of our ability. I thought it might be easier than it was. What was the craziest question we read here for you guys? What was the most surprising question that I read to you guys?
I don't think any of them surprised me, but I think the sex toy one about harming relationships potentially disheartened me the most.
Me too. Anyone else?
Same.
The one, is it healthy to
drink your, that's what I was going to say,
my girlfriend's juices.
A little disturbing, but it is Google.
I mean,
I could only imagine my Google history.
I don't know. No.
Actually, let's not talk about
clear
that.
Clear that shit.
Let's not talk about it.
Guys. No judgment. Here.
No judgment.
We are going to continue the party because we're all together, but let me see. Let me sum it up. Hey, I'm going to run you through some things really quick. Keep your eye out for our YouTube channel, which will be launching with sex toy reviews by me that may be out by the time this is up. If so, go search away and, figure it out. You could definitely find it linked to the SheExploresLife.com website. I'm on a 365 days of orgasms challenge. I'm trying to make myself come every day. You're like, why? I'm like, why are you asking why? But you are asking why. So go back to the podcast about it or head over to SheExploresLife.com. Go to Sex and Relationships. You'll find the article. I'm updating it every week. You'll find out all the health benefits for women in particular, but people, all people having orgasms. I am hoping it will change my life. Men. I get complaints all of the time about your voice not being included on this podcast. So I am putting a call out to you to send me your questions, comments, insults, compliments. And you can address me personally, Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E of my name, SheExploresLife.com. If you don't ask the questions, if you don't make the comments, well, I can't address them. And if you do send them, we'll all get back together to answer them. Outside of that, head to our social media, Locker Room Talk and Shots on Instagram and Facebook. Check out She Explores Life on Instagram, Facebook, being Benedetti. That's my personal Instagram. So that's it, folks. I want to go have fun. So I want to thank all of you guys for coming and joining me. So raise your glasses. Cheers.
Cheers.
Until next time, we'll see you in the locker room. Ring loop. Bring sexy back in 2024 with hot lingerie, sensual body products, and adventurous sex toys from lovehoney.com, all at a 15% discount with code EXPLORES15. Embrace your inner bombshell with their gorgeous bra and panty sets, baby dolls, and corsets. Then explore your desires with their line of toys that range from vanilla is my flavor to tie me up and call me good girl daddy. And don't forget to treat yourself to a massage candle or a sensual body oil, all for 15% off with code EXPLORES15 when you shop lovehoney.com. That's right, 15% off on lingerie, sex toys, and more when you shop lovehoney.com and use code EXPLORES15 at checkout. Cheers.